I wonder if we could turn, please, in our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And we're going to read from the verse 30, please, of the chapter. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and reading from verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew them, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far spent, past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by 100s and by 50s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves, they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee now. We thank thee for the messages in song. We bless thee for thy voice that is already spoken. We're glad, O God, that there is room at the cross. We're glad that those that come to thee, thou wilt in no wise cast out. And we pray, gracious God, that thou wouldst speak tonight, that thy blessing might be upon the preaching of thy word. And thou wouldst give us the words from thyself. For we thank that words that thou thyself shall give must and shall prevail. Bless and be with us, we'd ask of thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. We have been looking at some of the miracles in the book of Mark. And we have looked at how the Saviour is the conqueror over demons, over disease, and over death. And now he has passed over in the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And we read this great miracle, which is a very peculiar miracle, because it is one that is recorded in all four of the Gospels, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And obviously when it is recorded in all four of the Gospels, it is something that the Lord especially wants us to take note of. There's something about what is spoken of here that is peculiar, and something that the Lord wants to bring before attention and to bring before us tonight. And I see here a blessed thing, because the Lord is the bread of life. And here are these people. They have been going all day listening to the Savior. They have followed him from place to place. And now, weary in the evening time, and in the east, probably it's the springtime, because only in the springtime is there greenery on the grass. It says it's the evening time, which in the springtime in Israel is about 6 o'clock in the evening. And so they're sitting down, maybe about 4 to 6, on the green grass. And there is a problem. And the problem is that they have nothing to eat. But thank God that there is one who can meet the need. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one who reveals himself as the bread of life. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I pray tonight that you might feed on this bread. You know, it's the only thing that will really satisfy. There are those that would look to the material things of this world. There are those who would look to religion. There are those who would look to the philosophies and the fads and the fashions of this day and generation. But only the Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet us at the point of our need. And so tonight we want to think about this great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 people, 5,000 men, multitudes here gathered, and the Savior is able to meet them at the point of their need. And there are a number of things here in this miracle that I want you to see. And the first thing that I want you to see is the poverty of the people. Because we read here that they have nothing to eat. There is nothing for them. The Lord says in verse 32, he departed in a desert place by ship privately. And then it speaks of how it says in verse 35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. And they say, send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. There is nothing for them. They are starving here, and there is nothing for them. But I want you to notice the solution of the disciples here, because the disciples are faced with this problem, and you will notice their lack of faith. Here were men who had been following the Master. Here are men who had been with the Savior. They had seen the mighty things that he had done. He had just delivered from disease and from demons and from death. We had recorded over in Mark chapter 5. They should have had a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here they are, and they're faced with this problem. And they say, send them away. And their only solution to the problem is that they should be sent away. Now, it is said over that they had no time. If you look at verse 31, probably the disciples were the most hungry of all the people. It says, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So the disciples themselves were probably the hungriest there. And you know what happens when you get a little bit hungry? Maybe you have experienced it. Maybe when the wife gets a bit hungry, she gets a bit heated and gets a bit touchy on the subject. Or maybe you do as well. And here were these disciples. They were hungry. They were tired. It was now evening. They had been laboring. The Lord had to tell them to come apart and rest a while. And in the midst of all this, the crowd had pressed in upon them so that they had not time to rest. And probably they'd got a little bit grumpy. And I'm sure that many of you have been in situations
where things have been pressing in upon you, and there has been that stress upon you, and you just don't want to be bothered with anything else. And the only solution that the disciples can have is to send them away. Let them look after themselves. Oh, let's not be bothered with these people. Let's just let the problem be put to one side. Let them look after themselves. And you know, sometimes God's people are guilty of a lack of faith. Sometimes we don't have the faith that we ought to have. And sometimes we tend to push people aside. And maybe you're here this evening outside of Christ. And maybe there have been times when you have been asking some Christian about the things of God, or you brought up the subject only to be put aside or to be brusquely passed over, and they haven't really dealt with your problem. Or at times there have been even that lack of faith amongst the children of God. And maybe tonight, those of us that are saved, maybe we'd have to admit that as we've come here, there is that lack of faith. We've come with that thought that, well, nobody could be saved tonight. Nobody could come to Christ in a meeting tonight. There is no hope. And maybe we have forgotten to invite people along to the meeting, and we have forgotten to bring people along. But maybe you're outside of Christ, and you have seen sometimes the lack of faith that there is amongst God's people. Well, I'm glad tonight that here's a Saviour who is able to deal with the problem, even in spite of the lack of faith of the disciples. Even when these disciples were willing to push them aside, when the disciples were not dealing with the problem, showing this lack of faith, I'm glad that there was one who was able to stand in and was able to provide and meet the people at the point of their need. And I say to you tonight in this meeting that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet you at the point of your need, no matter what your need may be. You say to me, but preacher, my need is so great. My need is so impossible. I'm right down in the very pits of sin. I have lingered too long rejecting the gospel. I've turned away from Christ too often. And maybe tonight, as you sit in this meeting, you're saying to yourself, it's too hard. Maybe there's some Christian and you're saying about your loved one, your friend, it's too hard. Well, I'm glad tonight that there is one who holds all power in his hand. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the Lord Jesus Christ here was able to meet them at the point of their need. And you notice the picture that is given here in this portion of Scripture. Not only do we see the poverty that he met, and these people were in need, and we think of the great need that sinners have. You're outside of Christ tonight. You're hungry. Maybe you don't recognize it. Maybe you've tried the broken cisterns of this world. You've tried licentiousness. You've tried lust. You've tried material wealth. You've tried philosophies. You've tried religion. You've tried all sorts of things. And at the end of the day, there's nothing in it. There is nothing there. It's like the Keith Richards of the Rolling Stone. Monte Day, he said it was tough getting to the top. But he said when we got there, there was nothing there. And maybe you're like old Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. You see, here's a man at the end of his days. And he looked back across his life. And he realized that there was nothing in this old world that could satisfy and meet his need. Oh, men and women, recognize your poverty. Recognize that there is nothing that will bring you any satisfaction in this world. But recognize that there is one who can meet you at the point of your need. So we notice the poverty that these people had. But then notice the provision that the people were given. Because we think of the Lord Jesus here, and we're told that he broke the bread. Now, the disciples were asked here about what was provided what was available. And you remember how they said that there was this little boy and he had five loaves and two small fishes. They said, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And then they said, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, five and two fishes. And you notice what their solution was. You notice how impossible it seemed to be to make this provision. Because they said, shall we go buy 200 penny worth of bread? Now that's 200 denarii. Now, the commentators, some of them would say that a denarii, a 200 or a denarii was a man's wages for a week. So 200 denarii was maybe about three quarters, two thirds of a year's wages. Others have said that 200 denarii was the whole of a year's wages. So you can imagine how impossible this was. You think of the average wage that there is in this country at the present time. It's supposed to be calculated about £26,000. And that's really what they were saying here. It would take the equivalent of about £26,000 to feed all these people. So the Lord Jesus was setting it up. You will notice, if you were to turn over to the parallel passage in Luke chapter 9, that the Lord spoke these things that he might test them. The Lord Jesus really is setting this whole thing up in order to test the disciples. Because the Bible says he knew what he would do. He knew all the time what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to wrought in taking the loaves and the fishes. But he was testing the faith of the disciples. And he was setting it up so that it was absolutely impossible. And sometimes we come against the impossible. Sometimes we come against the hard heart. Oh dear friend, with a hard heart, God is able to strike the stoutest sinner through and start the cry, what must I do? And make men weep till born anew through the blood. There's none too hard for our blessed Redeemer. Oh, you've heard the testimonies of those in the drugs. You've heard the testimonies of those who were caught up in atheism. You've heard the testimonies of those that were caught up in the drink or something else. And Christ Jesus is able to see to the uttermost. All that come unto God by him. And you'll notice here that this was seemingly impossible. But you notice now the Lord Jesus said to them, he says in the verse there, how many loaves have ye? And they say unto him, five and two fishes. Now, the loaves there weren't the big long loaves that you get in the supermarkets today, the fresh loaves or anything like that. They were like really flat biscuits. And the fish wasn't some great tuna, yellowfin tuna or something like that. They were like sardines. And the Lord Jesus took these loaves, and the Bible says that he broke them. Now, if you were to look at the tense of the verse in the scripture there where it says that he broke them, it indicates that he broke them once. Now, it wasn't, some people have the idea that the Lord Jesus took the bread and he broke it, and then he kept on breaking it and breaking it and breaking it, and it just multiplied. No, what the Lord Jesus did was that he broke it once, and then by an act of creation, he created the extra bread and the fish and so on. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ does his miracle work. He is the great creator. And when a sinner comes to Christ, it is a work of new creation. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And when you come to Christ, There is that work of creation. He has to break you, first of all. He has to break your sin. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. And he's got to break you that he might recreate you. And thank God tonight that he breaks the sinner, that he might do a work of creation in the heart. Oh, dear friend, he'll make you anew. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you a new way of going. But not only do you notice that he break the loaves here, we see the provision, but I want you to see the picture. Because there are many things that are said about this parable. Now, I'm sure maybe you've heard messages preached on the kindness of the little boy, or maybe you've heard of messages preached on the kindness of the little boy and how he shared his lunch and maybe how we should share with other people. Or you've heard messages about the fact that the Lord Jesus was able to feed the poor or something like that. There are messages like that. You know, when people preach messages like that, they are really missing the heart of the matter. Because later on, when the Lord Jesus began to speak, the people began to question him about the loaves and so on and so forth. And later on they came to the Lord Jesus. And of course, when people heard about the Lord feeding the 5,000, there were multitudes coming after him looking for bread. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus said to them? He said, "You're coming looking for bread that perishes." But he said, "I am the bread of life." And he said to them, "I am the bread." And there is what the Lord Jesus Christ was getting at in this miracle. He was speaking of himself when he provided the bread. And the great provision for you tonight is the cross. It is Christ himself. He is the bread. He is the one who will meet your need. He is the one who breaks through into the heart. He is the one who is able to satisfy and to bless your soul. But you know, you notice that, as we said, the bread was broken once. We thought about how that the bread was broken and then it was given out. And the Lord Jesus, it says in verse 37, and he answered unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread?" But look at verse 39. And he commanded them to make them all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. So he brake the loaves once, but then it says that he gave them, and that speaks of a continual giving. And thank God that the Lord Jesus was broken once on the cross of Calvary. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Oh, thank God for that great sacrifice on the cross. And dear friend, all that you need is provided because of the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the nail prints in his hand, because of the wound in his side, because of the blood that was shed there on Calvary's center cross. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet you at the point of your need. You notice, by the way, that he sat them down by hundreds and by fifties upon the green. It says in ranks, by hundreds and fifties upon the green grass. The word for ranks there actually speaks about a flower bed. It is like rows of a flower bed. And he had them to sit down. It must have been a picturesque scene as he sat them down there in their ranks. And all this was done decently and in order. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who meets us at the point of our need. Thank God tonight that I am preaching one who is a mighty Savior. I'm preaching one who is a redeeming Savior. I'm preaching one who made an atonement once and for all on the center cross of Calvary. Nothing more needs to be done, for Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain, but thank God he washed it white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb tonight? Are your soul saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you on your way to home? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? We see the poverty they had and the provision they received. But then notice the providers they met. Because you notice what it says about the Lord Jesus. He broke the loaves. He had them set down by hundreds and by 550s. It says in verse 41, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. And then look at what it says. And gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Now you notice that the Lord Jesus provides the bread. It is the Lord Jesus that brings the bread and does the miracle and brings forth the bread. But you notice that he does not give it to the people. He sends out his disciples to bring the bread to the people. He has them sit down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. I heard a preacher one time preaching on the fact that perhaps that is as much as a man should have in any church fellowship, 100 or 50. And perhaps there's a point in it. It's as much as any man can look after, and maybe there's something in that. But he had them sit in ranks of hundreds and fifties, and it was the disciples that brought the bread to the people. And thank God tonight for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has sent forth the preachers to bring the message of salvation. We looked at this morning how that the Holy Spirit also is one who brings the message. He sent forth the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he said, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And so he does. But also, he has ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, that men should be saved. You know, there are those who would say to us, you know, if the Lord Jesus was to come down into this scene of time, if God was to leave heaven and come down and appear to me, I would believe. Not a bit of it, dear friend. I remember hearing the story of an atheist, and he was arguing with someone about the things of God, and the man said to him, you know, what would satisfy you? What would you need to convince you about the ways of God? And the man began to say, well, if God was to come down to this earth. And then he stopped because he realized what he was saying. The thing is, dear friend, God has come down to earth. The Lord Jesus Christ has appeared in this old world of ours. He left heaven's glory. He has come down. But he has sent forth his preachers. They are the oracles of God. They are the messengers. Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ. And he says, now we beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. It is the responsibility of the preacher. Hey friend, listen to the voice of the preacher. Listen to the voice of the pulpit. It is the message of God. It is the message of Christ. It is the message of reconciliation. Be ye reconciled to God. And we do that in Christ's stead tonight. We are God's ambassadors. I am God's messenger with God's message to you. And you need to come and repent of your sin. You'll notice that it was the disciples themselves that carried the message and carried the word to those around them. And we who are God's people also have the responsibility of carrying that message to those that are round about us, to get them to the cross and get them to the mighty Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the poverty they had and the provision they received, the providers they met. But look at the plenty they received. We read that it says in verse 42, and they did all eat and were filled. Then it says in verse 43, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children that were in the midst of that congregation. And it says they were all filled. The hymn writer said, now none but Christ can satisfy. No other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. He is the one who is the bread. He's able to meet you at the point of your need. He's able to take that hole that is in your heart. I heard about the great atheist Bernard Bertrand Russell, a great atheist of a day gone by, and his daughter Catherine Tate said of Bertrand Russell, he had been brought up in the church, he'd been brought up with the things of God, but he turned away to socialism and atheism and infidelity. But Catherine Tate, his own daughter, said of him that there was something of a God-shaped hole in his life that he could never fill. And dear friend, Christ is the bread. Christ is the one who brings satisfaction. He's the one who fills the need of the heart. We were cut off from God because of sin in the Garden of Eden. And until we find God, until we find our Maker, until we are brought into His holy presence, until we are able to hold communion with Him, there's something missing. Oh dear friend, is there something missing in your heart? Is there something missing in your life? The Lord Jesus Christ is there to meet you at the point of your need. Will you come to Him tonight? Will you ask Him into your heart? Now none but Christ can satisfy. He's the bread of life. He is the living water. He is the vine. We are the branches. And thank God He is the head. And those who are saved are the body. Come in to Christ tonight. Come and find the one who is able to make you at the point of your need. One who can bear you up, bring you to heaven. But Christ is the only one, the exclusive way of salvation. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You come to Him, and He'll save you, satisfy you, and sanctify your heart, and draw you to Himself for all eternity. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer.